Hopefully when you go home this evening, on your way home, you'll say, that dad did a great job with his lesson this evening. And there'll be no more mention of which one was involved. Some of you go your separate ways. Some of us just like to be in groups. I'm a group person. And so, with that in mind, I found a group that I've wanted to be part of. And this group is very special. And they're very unique. And I want to spend some time talking about them tonight. And to be frank with you, I think you're going to have to decide for yourselves if you either want to be part, and if you are, if you still are. Thank you for the reading this evening. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the last phrase says, but we have the mind of Christ. And so therefore, I want to ask the question of me and of you. Are we part of this we? I've wanted to talk about this for some time. And part of the time, to be honest with you, I couldn't get past Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, I can't have Christ's mind. It just told me that. So I can stop at this point and just go about my business. But I realize, as you realize, that I need to find a way to go further with my life in Christ, because He has a plan for me and my salvation to be part of this blessed group. So as Alan impressed us a couple of weeks ago, confess your faults. Perhaps this is the time to do that for me. I want to go to Colossians 3. And I want to look just briefly at some of the things there. And if we take an overview, once I find Colossians, if we take an overview, and we're trying to have the mind of Christ, I start out by realizing that if I'm raised with Christ, I've been baptized. And it tells me to set my heart in verse 1, and to set my mind in verse 2 on things above. Okay? Now I'm moving into the spiritual realm. Now I'm getting closer to Jesus and what he has for me. He died, and my life is hidden in Christ with God. So when I'm out and about, if I'm concentrating on things, then they're not seeing Dan and his faults and his failures. If I'm living this way, they're seeing Christ. I'm showing Christ in my life. When I was studying this, I got to verse 5. And from verse 5 on down, there are some fairly negative things that we're involved with here. And you know, in my lesson, I thought to myself, because I was really concentrating on the positive, I thought, let's just skip over this. Let's just skip past these bad things. And keep your finger on verse 5, and I'm going to tell you a quick story, and then we're going back to verse 5. I grew up a typical teenager, and being a typical male teenager, guys, my room wasn't quite along the inspection line that parents would hope that it would be. Cluttered, messy, no need to clean it up, close here, close there. And perhaps one of the lowest days of my life was when my mother, bless her heart that had let me go on and on in this condition, came to me and said, my mother, which you know is ill, my grandmother, she's going to move in with us. And I said, wonderful, that's great, I love Grandma. She said, she's going to have your room. Well, there was some shock to get over. But really the low point in that time was she said, and you're going to need to clean that room up so that she can move in there. Everything has to go. Everything? Everything. Well, the closet's okay, isn't it? No. The bathroom's okay? No. Everything has to go. And to wade through that hodgepodge of things, there were things that just meant so much to me, I just couldn't let go. There were things that I thought, you know, I could use this maybe sometime down the road. So I had quite a dilemma to get rid of the trash and to get rid of things that, well, shouldn't be there. Quite a lesson for me. And I'm here to tell you that verse 5 on, in the next few verses, is exactly the spiritual room we have in our house. If we're immoral, if we're impure, if we have lust, if we have evil, if we have greed, if we have things that we put ahead of God, then I'm standing here before you telling you that Dan, and possibly you, we can't go on to verse 12. We can't. Because my story this evening is simply for me saying that I've tried to do this. I've tried to get to 12 and 13 and 14 in my life. I just thought that I could go in and move some of this stuff aside in my life and make room for holiness and clothe myself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And there'd just be room for all of that. And whatever I needed, I could just reach in my heart and pull out, and that's what I could become for the moment. But God says it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't. And so what I say to you tonight simply is that one of the ways the devil has tempted me is to not clean up myself. Not move all these things aside. And yes, we have the story of the demon was thrown out and this fellow didn't decide to do anything about the empty space in there, so the demon came back, didn't he, with more. And I believe that's what we find ourselves. We find ourselves thinking that good fruits of the Spirit and things that aren't quite right can dwell within us. And that we are strong enough or good enough or clever enough to keep them separated. And it just isn't the case. Let the word dwell in you richly, verse 16, and we'll move along quickly here. And it says that you can be prepared then to take every opportunity to teach others and to be prepared with an answer when people ask you. And I don't know about you, but there are times when people ask me things and they catch me by surprise. They ask me things and they catch me off guard. That I'm here to tell you that what comes from my heart without terribly my mind thinking sometimes isn't always the most appropriate answer. And so, what do I do? I will make one more quick example. If you've never had a dirty room, and I don't use these examples very often, but every once in a while I'll turn on the TV, and there'll be a very needy family, and they'll be living someplace that nobody wants to live, but they live in this small, little, possibly messy, possibly dirty place. And sure enough, this wonderful team of people come in and volunteers. And, you know, you think, well, okay, we can leave this wall, we can leave this ceiling, we can leave this floor. Have you ever seen that happen? I've never seen them leave anything. They tear out the foundation. They start completely over again. And what happens when it's all said and done? Well, it's a beautiful, new, spotless place to live that would make anyone proud to live there. I guess my thoughts are different. And then I wonder, when everything is torn down and thrown away, that's no good, of no quality, and what's new is brought in, and everything is new, clothing, furniture, everything is new, that if the habits are the same, if the lifestyle stays the same with those people, what's that new house going to look like in 6 months? And I believe that's what we have in Colossians. If you don't change the inside, Christ says, no reason to change the outside. The mind of Christ. It's a daunting task, but 2 Corinthians 1:21 tells us that he has put a seal of ownership on us. In 4:6, he said, "Let light shine out of darkness, and may his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of glory." Romans 5:5, "And the hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts." Ephesians 4:22, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." If all I read is that Christ wants us to have his mind or mindset, then I have to make some changes. Yet he promised me time after time after time that if I'll change those ways, I can be like him. I wanted to quickly, because I've got just a couple more minutes, I wanted to quickly test myself in a situation that I find in the Scripture quickly to see if I am thinking about things above, if I am thinking like Christ. And I'll give you an example, and Scott did such a beautiful job with this story. I'm sure you'll remember it. When Scott gave us a lesson in Mark, the second chapter, about Jesus coming in to the town, and the crowds came to visit, and it was pressing so much inside that they were outside, and they were pressing outside so much that there were people that couldn't get in to see him at all. Yet, this man, paralyzed on a mat, had friends that Scott so aptly told us how they dug out the roof to lower him down. Put yourself with me, if you will, in the scene that we're some of the lucky ones that got into the house. Why were we there? We're there to see Jesus. Well, why else are we there? Well, I'll tell you why I'm there. I want to see a miracle. I want to see Jesus do something spectacular. I want to see a physical, wonderful, neat thing happen. And the crowd goes silent after he's preached. And this man is now lowered down to the point where Jesus can identify him. And he tells the men that have lowered him down about their faithfulness, that he appreciates that. And then Jesus disappoints me. Because he says, your sins are forgiven. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus, but that's not what I came to see. I came to see something outward. I came to see something spontaneous. You see, I'm thinking physically. And I don't have his mind yet, do I? He came there, and the second miracle that happened was he looked at those people that didn't want something good to happen, and he said, I know what you're thinking. You're mad at me because I forgave this man his sin, and you don't think I can do that. You don't think I have that power. And let me ask you a question. Which is easier? Forgive sins or raise this man up off his mat, so he can take his mat and go home? What's easier? Well, nobody had an answer to that, did they? So that you'll believe, so that Dan Stretch will believe that I can forgive sins and that I'm the Son of God, I'm going to raise this man off this mat. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And me standing there going, wow, if he can do that, I guess he can forgive my sins. You see what I mean about spiritual and temporal? That's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach to them. That's the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach to me and possibly to you tonight. As I wrap things up, I can make all I want to make of these stories. But unless we become the we in 1 Corinthians 2, we're not going to make it. Because Jesus in the last day is going to look out to me and say, oh, do I see me in you? Have our minds, have you picked up on what I've been trying to tell you? Well, I'm a little slow. But Jesus said, that's okay. I'm going to give you enough reasons and enough ways for you to catch up so that you can get over the temporal, the physical, that only what you can see, and see that my mind and what I have to give you is more important than anything that happens down here, whether there's a man laying on a mat or not. All that really matters is that you accept me, accept my ways, because I want you to be with me forever. Thank you.